do about this time?
Thank you for taking a ride on the Freedom Train podcast series. I'm your host, Joseph Ward, and as always, rocking with me is my big homie, Mr. Patrick Irvin. And remember, the Freedom Train is brought to you by PAX Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with a trace of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at make sure you visit the PAX website at PACTSINC.org. Go to the website. Make sure you click on the different tabs, the code of conduct, the about, the member, donor, all that. Get involved. But make sure you click on that tab that says more, because so much educational information in for the black community. So make sure you do that. Once again, the website is www.pactsinc.org. And while you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com, because we be getting it in. We dropping these shows throughout the week. This Freedom Train podcast, the Fix Sports podcast, Lessons from the Screen, the Enigma Sep Hour, and we putting it down. So y'all got to go check us out. www.freedomtrainradio.com. Remember, our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Radio Republica, Google Podcast. What else? What else they on, Pat? What else they on?
It's Radio Republic.
Radio Republic. There we go. I keep saying Republic up.
Every week for the last 3 months.
You keep letting me say it.
No, I stop you at least once every few weeks. Hey man, we got ladies on the show. That's why you messed up the intro. So, you know, let's
I was thinking Freedom Train. But we got guests. We got guests because we need to bring some guests in because we got some topics that we need to get into. So we have Erica and Dom. How y'all doing today?
And they don't get no hand clap or nothing. What a fact.
Right. We ain't that important
that
now.
Right. Hey, look. Like it hurt him to say Dom, like it hurt his throat.
Well, last time you was on and I said your name, you were like, dog, don't say my name.
Oh, yeah, so he gave the government.
Yeah. So I said, all right, I ain't going to say your name.
You got to watch him.
Even though
I just like it was empty because usually there's a hand clap.
Man, look. He ain't want to show us no love.
Hey, man. Y'all going to get some love, man. Don't even worry about it. We got time. You gonna get it?
You gotta do it over, Joe, man. You gotta give him a hand clap, bro.
Yeah, that hand clap was dry and ashy.
It wasn't dry. I just put some little.
But it was ashy.
I just put lotion. Oh my! Hey man, y'all wild though. But appreciate y'all being on the show.
You
gonna
give him a hand clap for real?
Dog, I got this, dog. I'm finna set this thing up. You got to let me do this, dog.
I'm sorry. You're right. You're a professional. I'm tripping. I'm sorry.
Shut up.
No, I'm legit. I'm sorry. You good. Go ahead. You.
Hey, man. But seriously, though, we appreciate y'all being on the show, giving up y'all time because y'all could be doing anything, but y'all decide to come here, rock with us on the Freedom Train as we get down with these topics that we have. So in the interest of Patrick and the ladies, since y'all won't leave me alone, I want to reintroduce to you all two of the finest ladies who are walking God's green earth, Erica and Dawn. Go ahead and give it up. Bam, there we go, y'all.
Now I feel like a celebrity.
There you go.
You just said that Dawn like you was pushing out a turd and you was constipated.
You know, look, I'm a little gassy.
Like
I ate Mexican. I ate Mexican today, so you know.
Mexican,
Mexican, yeah, that's how we say it in Florida, Mexican.
So is that who Trump building that wall for, the Mexicans?
Nah, he building that for the Mexicans, not the Mexicans. Mexicans, they ain't going nowhere.
In Texas, we have Mexicans.
They don't come ain't through no there anyway. The Mexicans come, they come to Florida on the boats from the Caribbean.
Right.
That's some Haitian.
They're going to come after you.
I love the hate. Hey. I love y'all.
Hey, so we're going to discuss four topics. First topic is, we came across an article on Madame Noir that was basically talking about a woman and her husband. They just recently had a baby girl, and the wife isn't comfortable with the husband bathing the child and being like close, intimate, you know, raising the child. So we're going to discuss that. We're also going to discuss the pick me culture, P-I-C-K-M-E, pick me culture that's going on. We're also going to talk or discuss another article that we saw earlier about would you allow, if it was down to your wife and your child and your newborn baby, which one would you save? And then the last topic is we're going to discuss the HIV epidemic in Atlanta. So let's get this thing going.
Joe, did you just change the topic?
No, Pat.
He really didn't. Sure?
I didn't. Yeah.
So we were always going to talk about the which one would you save?
That I said it earlier. And yes. Everybody said yes. Yeah, I know.
I'm tripping. I'm still on. All right, whatever. So my little piece, since I'm tripping, is these segments are going to be timed. We're going to keep them 15 minutes. So it's going to be, you know, when we get to about a minute, I'm going to say we got a minute left, 30 seconds, 10 seconds, 5 seconds. And then we're going to do like they do at the gym when they training you and you supposed to be your last one. But they like, give me one more. So after the timer get to zero, we're going to allow somebody to make the final point. I know those two don't relate to each other at all, but it felt good to say.
That's what's up. So this first.
And we talk about Joe and I are making a new new fitness DVD set.
Oh, yeah. We got to tell them about that.
Go ahead and tell them about it, Joe, real quick.
Protest your way to fitness.
Right.
Protest your way to fitness. Why go into a gym and spend your money in a gym when you can do aimless protests marching up and down the street? And you know how thick your calves going to get? Mm. You know how many calories you're going to burn yelling and marching at the same time with no real intent? Exactly. So you're going to get your back muscles. There you go. Get them arms and the back muscles together. So we're going to drop our DVD in about 2 weeks. So y'all stay on the lookout for that.
So we already got testimonials and stuff like that. And, you know, the biggest piece of it is not only are you getting in shape, but you also getting on the right side of history. So
there you go. Ooh, that's the best part.
That's most important. Yeah. You it's know, always important to be on the right side of history.
That's
even if history doesn't change, right, you have to be on. Yeah, even though history does not change, you still need to be on the right side of it.
So, all right. So
y'all
make
be
sure
on the lookout
right
for that. The new fitness program, Protest 2000.
There you go. you get your abs right, and you make a difference.
What you try?
Something like that. About your abs, not different. Yeah.
All right. So. I'm going to start the time on the first topic as soon as you introduce it again, and we're going to go.
And, all right, so this is the headline of the article. This mother says she trusts her husband, but she still doesn't let him bathe their daughter. And this article caused a lot. It caused a lot of discussion, comments, all these things here. And it's something that we want to go ahead and discuss on here because I don't have any children. But I'm just like, this is something y'all should have discussed a long time ago before you guys decide to have children. Because I just thought about myself, like, if I was a father, I wouldn't want to be in this position to where I have, because this is the lady's second child. Because she said she didn't have a problem with the father bathing the son and doing certain things with the son, but she has a problem with it with the daughter. So me personally, I would have an issue with that. But I want to start with the ladies. What are you guys' thoughts and feelings about this, just like off top when you first hear this? Erica, let's start with you.
I have two daughters, 17 and 8.
And their fathers have always been allowed to help me out with the parenting. And I don't restrict how I allow their fathers, biological fathers, help me in parenting. I do think mom sounds like she has some serious trust issues. And again, it's okay to always be careful. And you can't put anything past anyone, mother or father. It's a lot of sick people out there. But again, these are signs and things she should have picked up on before she had a child. Because again, maybe the dad showed something that she wasn't comfortable with. That also could be the case. But also, those signs should have been caught up and picked up on before marriage, and especially before she had a child with the father. I mean, he should be allowed to change the diaper. What happens when you're not around? What happens if you get sick and you have to go to the hospital? You know, you just never know what happens if you have another child. She could get pregnant right now. At some point, and as your husband, because your husband's supposed to be closer to you than your child, what message are you sending your husband about how you trust him within your marriage? Because that child has to leave your home eventually. But the scar she's placing on her husband with her trust issues will last forever.
Right. Dominique, what's your thoughts?
So, I have a couple of thoughts. First of all, I don't have kids, but I did, like, even when you said bathing your daughter, I felt a little, like, something in my stomach. And I know that that's, like, a trigger. So even though I know it's irrational, I understand, but it's not right. So I know I talked about this before, but my grandmother had the same fear with my dad. My dad would come and get me on the weekend. And one weekend I came home and my grandmother was like, I don't even know how it came up, but basically she asked me if my dad bathed me. And I was like, yeah, and she had a fit. And, I'm a little girl, so I don't even really understand what's going on. But then that put something in my head that him bathing me was wrong. But my dad, being the type of guy that he is, he was like, hey, that's my daughter. You know, this is what needs to happen. And he just continued to do it. But I know it was for her, it was because she had trauma. And I'm sure the woman in the article is the same thing. So you have, that undiagnosed trauma. She had trauma that she needed to deal with. And I know you said that this is something that should have been talked about before, but usually you don't know something is a trigger until it actually triggers you. I'm sure she never even considered her husband bathing her daughter. Like me, I just got that little thing when you said it. I would have never thought that I wouldn't stop my husband from bathing my daughter, but I never would have thought that it would have even given me that little hesitation, because I did feel like a hesitation when you even said it. So she probably didn't know that it was going to be a problem. But that's something that she has to work through, and then she needs to make sure to not, like I said, that put that in her daughter's head, because by my grandmother reacting the way she did, I didn't know exactly why it was a problem, but it put in my head that it was a problem. So, she needs to be careful of that, because she's just gonna pass that on, and she definitely needs to get that trauma taken care of. That's what she needs to work out. It has nothing to do with her husband. I'm sure she trusts her husband.
Right. All right, Pat, as a father, if you were in this situation, what do you think your feelings and thoughts would be?
Well, first of all, Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph. As a father.
Right, I said, you're a father.
I would... And I'm trying to digest what both of the ladies just said, because Dominique presents an angle, like we talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
When I first heard about this story, I'm like, yo, that's grounds for immediate divorce. Like, I can't be with you if you think I'm going to abuse my daughter, and you can't say you trust me if you think I'm going to abuse my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So, those two things in my mind can't occupy the same space. But I do get the angle, and I agree with the angle of you don't know that something's a trigger until you're triggered. That's usually how you find out. That's even in terms of medicine and other fields, you know, if they're trying to figure out what allergies you have, they expose you to certain allergens and see if you have a reaction. The only way to figure out if something's a trigger is to trigger you. So I get that angle, but I still feel like that's a huge hurdle to jump. Like, that's just, that's because not only do you feel like I am a potential sexual predator, sexual deviant, child molester, but you believe that I would do that to my own child. And like I said in the post, I don't even know if I could be friends with somebody that thinks that about me, much less married to you, raising kids. Like, to me, it almost seems like it would be more beneficial as a father to raise the child separate from you. And I know that's a harsh stance to make, but I got to be worried about what types of how my interaction with my daughter will be impacted by your feelings about my interaction with my daughter. Like, how is that going to come across? How is it going to play? Children are very sensitive to energy. How are they going to pick that up? How are they going to read that? You might be doing your best to contain it, but it's there. So, you know, it's kind of like when a man and woman are married, but they hate each other, and they're trying to fake the funk for the kids, but the kids know they don't like each other. And it kind of just makes the whole house tense for no reason. So that type of undiagnosed trauma, she's got to get help. She's got to get help immediately. I still don't know that I could raise a child in that environment, though. I just don't know that I could be a proper father in that environment when I'm at odds with the mother like that. You know, if, you know, like, now, am I allowed to change diapers? Am I allowed to be in the room with the child when you're not there? What about leaving the child home alone with me? You know, what about all these other issues that might pop up?
Yeah, that's true.
How can I be a father in this situation? And, you know, like, so for me, I would peace out, just being honest. No ill will. Baby, look, I know you got issues or whatnot, but I can't be with you right now. Maybe not divorced, but we definitely got to. You need help immediately.
And so that's why I brought up, I'm sorry, that's why I brought up, like, she's parenting alone in most aspects, because as a parent and you're parenting together, how does one parent get to draw the line as to what, how and what we're going to do with this child? I think, again, and I've been sexually assaulted. I've been molested. I've been raped. So, again, even still, when I had kids with someone, we parented and we made decisions together. I never think as a mother I have more control or say-so over my child just because I'm mom. No, everything we're going to do together, and we're going to agree upon it together. I don't have more say. And it sounds like that's how it is. It's her way or no way, and that's no way for anyone to enter or be in a marriage.
Yeah, I would be completely hurt, and I wouldn't be happy in that situation, because I know for me personally, because I've done so much work in helping to create men who are allies to women and who aren't molesting, raping, beating women. So for me, from that angle, I would be devastated by that. And it would be hard for me to really be in that relationship 100% after somebody told me that. Now, if this is something we talked about beforehand, but I also understand what you all are saying about triggers, because sometimes you don't know until something is triggered. But I know I would be devastated by that. I wouldn't be happy, because for me it'd be like something I've looked forward to being a father. Like I look forward to that, and so to have that taken away from me because I'm a man and because there are past traumas, I would be completely hurt. Now, let me read y'all this tweet. I forgot that. I can't really say the lady's name, so I ain't going to really try to say her name. This is a tweet from a lady who has a popular TV show in Africa. a tweet is saying, I don't remember which country. They're not saying exactly which country, but it says, I absolutely trust my husband, but I won't take chances and have him bathe my daughter because whether we like it or not, there's something flying in the air these days that is encouraging imbalances and immoralities.
So,
now, what do you guys think about that?
What I wanted to say about that is we really need to reprogram the way women and girls look at men, because a lot of girls and women, mostly women, and the girls get the idea from women, is that men have absolutely no control over themselves. And I think men kind of allow that to happen. They allow that narrative to be played because it absolves them from a lot of things. But there are a lot of women who believe that men cannot control themselves when it comes to sex. I've had a conversation with a 50-year-old woman who didn't even believe that men have types. She literally thinks that men will sleep with anything. So if you have like a generation of women that have this idea that anytime there's a vagina in the room that a man cannot control himself, this type of thing is going to continue to happen. So until women start getting the idea that men have control over their sexual appetite, people are going to continue to think that girls aren't safe even with their own father. Yeah, to me, I think that's where all this comes from. Even trauma aside, a lot of women just don't think that men can control themselves when there's a vagina in the room, even if that vagina belongs to his daughter, which is sad.
Yeah,
it's very sad.
I hear that tweet as a man, and I'm just like, yo, like, because I have my defensive reactions and impulses and stuff. So my first reaction is I've never heard something so full of shit in my life. To say that we're in a time or blah, 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 you know, to me, that's the same. It's not the same argument, but it's the same type of misinformation and broken impressions that you get when a woman is raped. And they first thing they say is, well, what she have on? You know, it's that same type of
It is the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, for me, and I talked about this, shameless plug insert here. I talked about this a little bit in my show, Lessons from the Screen, when I talked about rape culture in the man box and about what happened to me. And I agree with Dominique. There is this box, the man box. We like to think about how it affects men without thinking about how it affects women as well, because it does. If a man is believed to be somebody that'll fuck anything with a wet hole, then you're going to treat that man a certain type of way. And that also means that when a man comes along that doesn't act that way, you're going to treat him a certain way as well.
Right.
And we're not looking at how we're analyzing these two narratives and these two competing ideas of what a man is. You know, like going back to my experience for just a moment, when I pushed back against what was happening to me, I was criticized and accused of being gay for not wanting to be raped. So, you know, you think about what that does to men who now, when they're coming forward, now not only do you feel this pressure to sleep with anything that comes along, but now you're almost embarrassed to not want to sleep with something.
You know, and that's why I get so mad when I see, like, the articles with the teachers who are the female teachers that are having sex with their male students. And when I see men comment, oh, he's fine. Trust me, he's not offended by this. It makes me mad because it leads to that narrative that boys and men can't be sexually assaulted. And it leads to the narrative that boys and men, as long as they're having sex, you know, they're happy. It doesn't matter who it is.
Right. Yep, it doesn't matter who is with.
And that's true. I can't, you know, and men can't control themselves sexually, which also leads to that broken narrative that, you know, if a woman wear a miniskirt, she's going to get raped. All of those things tie into that man box. But
Because this is because like what you all saying that it's just how How did she exist with him? How did she end up in a sexual relationship or even married with him with those traumas? And what, you know, I don't know exactly what her triggers are for her specifically, but it's just, did she have these ideas about men as a whole?
Do you know how many men are laying next to women right now that have been raped and they have no idea?
I know.
That's 15 minutes, so everybody get to make their final point.
Go ahead. Where you start, go ahead.
Oh, so my final point is, look, women, folk, men can't control themselves. And if you disagree with that, then you're not ready to be in a relationship with a man. Go get help.
Yeah. I would say both parties in a relationship, do your best to have real in-depth conversations about things over a plethora of topics so you can kind of get a good feel of what you're saying. Because like Dominique said, there are a lot of men who are in relationships with women and they have no idea what trauma they faced in the past. So you need to know that.
Yeah, and I'm going to piggyback off of that. If you're in a relationship with somebody as a woman or even as a man, because men suffer from sexual assault also, and you don't feel comfortable enough letting that person know your past traumas, then that's probably not the person you should be with. You should not be embarrassed that you were violated sexually. It's not your fault. So that's definitely a conversation that needs to be had before you move to the next level, especially before you have children. So that's my final thought on that.
Erica?
And to finalize and stress, the key is communication, open up and talk, not just with your partner, but go seek professional help so that you could sort through whatever feelings you may be feeling. And even before sometimes you enter into a relationship, seek professional help about the issues you may be having. Whether you were sexual assaulted or not, if you're feeling any issues about the opposite sex that aren't normal, as far as whether they're sexual deviant or not, get some help.
Right.
And the key is the wee-wee.
What? All right. So the second topic is the pick me culture, the culture of people being saying, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me. Now, I'm going to go to Dominique first on this because I know we've had conversations. Could you break down for folks who don't know, could you break down to them what pick me culture is?
So pick me culture is basically women who, I would say, throw other women under the bus in order to get attention from men. On even the most basic level. So it can be something as small as like the meme that people post on social media, who can put their real hair in a ponytail. And then you'll have 500 comments of women with selfies of their hair in a ponytail. Oh, I can put my hair in a ponytail. Not like these bald-headed, weed-wearing bitches around here. My hair real. I don't wear makeup. I know how to cook and clean. It's that kind of thing where you're just reaching for attention. And, like, I've posted memes with the opposite just to kind of see, like, where I'll say how many men know how to cook or how many men can do X, Y, Z, and it'll be maybe 5 comments where when a man poses those type of questions to women, especially black women, it's like, I mean, it's just comment after comment of them trying to get chose. And then throwing other women who may not be like them under the bus. So that's pretty much what pick me culture is. And it just hurts my soul.
I remember reading this post. This girl was saying that she wakes up 5 o'clock every morning. That she would be willing to wake up 5 o'clock every morning to cook for her man, cook breakfast for him, like a hearty 3-course breakfast for him, to make sure that he has the energy to go throughout his day. And I was like, man, if you don't lay your ass down for 2 to 3 more hours,
exactly,
I'm not going to be up that damn time waiting on you to, like, you know, I'm not going to do that. Like, you don't have to be you.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. I think what's most annoying about pick me culture is most of the girls are lying. Not about the hair, because, I mean, you can tell if a bitch got as you can put in the ponytail. But I'll get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'm gonna make sure my man has bacon, eggs, and pancakes every single day. And then I'm gonna get dressed, and I'm gonna go to work and work 13 hours a day. And then I'm gonna come home, and I'm gonna fix him a T-bone steak in my stilettos with my boy shorts on every single day. It's like, girl, no, you're not. No, you're not. Right. Like, what? Why you lying? And it's nothing wrong with catering to your man. I think that's kind of where the issue comes in, because women who talk about other women being pick me, the women on the other side think that, oh, you're a feminist and you don't want to take care of your man and blah blah blah. And it's not about that. You just don't have to, like, you don't have to do that, sis. Like, you ain't got to throw yourself out there like that. It's embarrassing, for one, to me. And the men don't, that doesn't, I don't know, some men do fall for this. Why? I ain't even going to say they don't take you seriously. But some of the men really do be like, ooh. And I'm like, you don't get that girl
right,
home.
After a month,
you ain't getting none of that.
I don't think they fall for it as much as we think they do. Because you notice, a lot of these pick me women are single.
A lot.
They never get jobs.
So, and we could say they single because they want to be, which, you know, maybe that is a possibility. I'm not discounting that, but the fact remains, you know, for all of the stuff you will do, ain't nobody chose to will do you. So,
because they're probably not doing it, and they probably had a man, and after they worked together for a week, he realized he ain't seen no boy shorts, no stilettos,
exactly.
He ain't eating no T-bone steak, and ain't getting no three-course meal.
A lot of these people honestly believe that they would do it, and it's easy to say what you would do when you ain't got to do it. Like, right now, I can say, shit, yeah, you know, if men could get pregnant, I would get pregnant and deliver a baby. You know, it's easy for me to say that right now because I ain't got to do it. It's not a possibility.
Right, right.
But this actually speaks to a deeper issue in the fact that black women are so pressed to be married and to have kids and to be in a relationship that we're always told that this is what other women are doing. Mexican women are barefoot, pregnant, always
and
in the kitchen cooking with a baby on their hip. And we're saying, hey, if we built like this and these other women are trying to look like us and be like us, I'm doing this butt booty naked in the kitchen. It speaks to that deeper issue of black women wanting and trying to do whatever it takes to be in a relationship, except for submit. Dominique, that's your post today about the black woman. Girl. One out of five women submit, and it was the black woman.
Yeah, that was, she was looking.
I don't even understand that, because I always think it's funny, because I find black women to be submissive. We might talk a whole bunch of stuff about it, but black women are submissive. We'll be submitting while we're telling you we're not going to submit.
I think the key to that, though, is black women will submit to a dude that they feel is worthy of submitting to.
Right.
And I think a lot of dudes miss the boat on that. They just think all black women are supposed to submit to them.
I'm supposed to submit because I'm a man.
Right.
Yes, because they have a penis.
That ain't the way it works.
I say,
y'all know I talk big shit on social media, but if when I'm in a relationship, I do consider myself to be submissive. And people, if you see my post, you would never think that. But you're not coming in the door getting submitted to.
Okay.
But see, even in that though, and to me, a woman should only submit to a man who's willing to meet her halfway.
Yeah, you know
what?
But I do think that because I think people should submit to each other, you know.
Yeah.
Compromise and give in and do certain things that I want, and I do the same thing for you. It's an even exchange. Like, this whole feudal lord vassal state type of relationship that we got going on, where I'm the dictator and you're the surf girl. Like, that shit don't work. It's never worked.
No,
not for us.
But
this ain't no power struggle. Nobody's in the power struggle.
The numbers aren't on our side. The numbers aren't on black women's side when it comes to available black men. And I think that has a lot to do with the picking culture. Because it's like, we gotta fight 30 other women for one man. So if I feel like me jumping to the front and saying, look at me, I got real hair. Look at me, you know, I don't go out. I never go out. I stay home every day and read the Bible. If we think that's what's going to get us to the next level, that's usually what's happening. It's a tough competition out here.
We got to understand the numbers, though. You're right. In terms of raw numbers, there is a shortage of black men. And when you add in the massive land mass that we're separated on, the United States is a huge piece of land. And we're spread out across that motherfucker. So when you add that in, you know, it gets even worse. But, you know, we also got to consider that everybody don't want everybody. And everybody,
right.
You know, there are a lot of people out there that are content to be single. And there are a lot of men out there that aren't ready to be in a relationship with anybody, including themselves. So Go ahead.
Didn't I tell y'all, I know I told Joe and Patrick about a conversation I had with a very, 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 very close friend of mine. Not going to say her name, y'all know. We're talking on the phone, we're having our conversations, and I'm jokingly saying, because I always talk about how I need, when I come home from work, I need a home-cooked meal. So I'm going to get me a man to be a house husband. I said, no, he can work at McDonald's, probably make about $1,500 a month. And if he take half of that $1,500 that he brings home and give half of that to me to help pay the bills, he'll still pocket it $750 after he helped me with the bills. $750 a month to play around with, that ain't nothing. My response was, well, after I pay out my bills, I don't have $750 a month to play around with, and I make more than $1,500 a month. I make more than that biweekly, right? So she was like, I'm just not dealing with a man that only has $750 to play with a month. I said, okay, let's keep it real, because he worked at McDonald's, huh? She said, well, yeah, that's it. I said, well, my confidence in any man I'm with, if he working at McDonald's, I can make him the owner of a McDonald's. So we posted it in our dating group, and a lot of women were truthful and said it was them working at McDonald's thing that they didn't like. So, Patrick, you know you're going to correct me if I'm wrong, but this is what I told the women. You take 100 women and 100 men. Those 100 women going after the same 10 men, and y'all leaving 90 men out there to be free and roam, and then you mad at the 10 men because you done gave them 100 women to choose from, which is technically 10 women apiece. And then you think they playing games. But most women go after the same type of man. And then you get mad because y'all say they fuck boys and they this and they that. Then you become into a pick me because you place yourself in an unnecessary competition that go after one of the 90s. That's at McDonald's. That may be working at Domino's.
Hey, that pick me for me, somebody like me, that pick me culture is not attractive to me. I like real women. I like people who are not afraid to be themselves. Be you. Like,
and that's
I don't
the problem
lose your manners.
Exactly. Like for me, if my girl ain't down with farting around me, she ain't really cool with me like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I know some people like, I ain't farting around you, but that's just, you know, I want my woman
never,
to be
I would never. I would never.
I'm with Dominique on that one.
I would never ever.
Let that thing slip out one time. That's why I know you.
If it slip out, it slip out, and I'm embarrassed.
Yeah.
But even still,
don't
I'm
be embarrassed.
I don't lose my marriage around people. I'm going to walk out
me
of the
either.
Room. I'm a because you should nobody have to be subjected to smelling your crap.
I don't understand it. I don't even do that around my girlfriend.
I get
exactly.
What Joe's saying. He's not saying
it's accountability.
You be walking around the time I pull my fingers. But
right, it's you being comfortable with me.
But if you shouldn't be like, oh my God, I just farted. Gee, or pooed, or pooed it, or whatever the word
yeah, whatever
is.
You say.
Saying, oh my God, I just gas just escaped my southern border. You know.
You stupid.
I would die.
I do declare.
I would die. I was engaged, and the guy I was engaged to told me that I passed gas in my sleep, and I wanted to dig a hole, get in that hole, dig another hole, and get in that hole. I wanted to die 1,000 times. I just can't do it. But women who do that's fine.
I'm going to look at you and say, good. And keep it moving.
But dudes do want a woman that's, you know, you should not say, you, again, not saying you should be pulling my fingers, but if one slip out, you shouldn't be like, oh my God, what is he going to think of me? Jesus Christ.
I was just embarrassed. I was so embarrassed that he actually told me he was joking, and I know he wasn't. But I think he just said that because he knew. I was mortified.
He probably, because I remember the first time I told my wife that she pulled it in her sleep, fought it. Well, I don't know what they call it nowadays. But anyway, that she let something out in her sleep, and I don't even think she slept in the bed the next day.
I swear.
But see, that's the thing that Pat and I are trying to communicate is you're a human. If you don't fart, you die. Like, you need to let that shit out. You're a human. So we, you know, we understand that you are human. Once again, we don't want you to go around being gaseous clay or nothing like that. But we understand that you're a human. Hell, I fart. So it's okay, but you don't have to go in the other direction or even in that pick me direction to get somebody's attention. If you are a genuine person and I dig you because of you. I don't care about that all that other stuff that you're trying to add. I like you because of who you are, your personality, and the things that you bring to the table. Damn that other stuff.
You know what's interesting about the pick me thing? And I didn't even know about pick me nothing until Dominique brought it up, pointed it out to me on some posts that we was laughing at. Is, you know, like the last conversation we talked about the man box and how broken it is. This conversation, you know, we're talking about the woman box and how broken that is, you know, and how, you know, women feel like they got to be this type, carry themselves this way, do this, do that, to get a man, and even the type of man that they're envisioning themselves with, even that speaks to the woman box and what's available and what they see for themselves. So I like the way these two conversations tie in. Only reason I'm bringing it to a close like that is because we are at, give it a second, 15 minutes.
You just wasted 3 of our seconds.
Right.
Well, everybody okay. Get to make their final point.
Be yourself. That's mine.
Don't be a desperate, thirsty bitch. Nobody likes that.
Jesus Christ.
Nick?
Patrick?
I do declare. Bobby Brown is the king of R&B.
Thank you. Thank you.
Live.
Jamie Foxx
saying rocks and blunt.
Jamie Foxx a hater. That's why he don't really understand.
No.
What's your final thought, Erica?
Love yourself. Know yourself. And you don't have to go through all the extras. Just know yourself.
Right. Because if you love yourself and know yourself, then you can touch yourself.
Yes.
You can make your own self fart, huh?
Yeah, you can touch yourself, make yourself shiver, then give yourself gas and pass out.
Let it go. Yes. Let it go, baby. There you go.
Now Joe is the king of R&B.
Hey, I wasn't going to say nothing, but since you said it.
Hey, Joe can sing, though. I liked his song, I Could Tell You Lying, because when you were crying, you stuttered.
No, not that Joe. This Joe.
But that Joe is even a better pick.
Hey man, y'all gotta get off of Bobby like that. Bobby Brown.
Joe was like the Kelly Rowland of R&B though. It's like he could sing and it was cool, but he just never really, you know what I mean? Like, nobody just really cared about it.
Hey, I love Kelly Rowland.
I love
her. So do I. So do I, but let's be honest. Kelly is gorgeous and she can sing.
People
do not care about Kelly Rowland. She is beautiful and her voice is beautiful. But
well,
there
I
is
care
just
enough for everybody. And I'm married, Kelly, so you
did you did you just feet, did you buy her single? Did you download her single legally?
I did, actually. I bought her record that she had with the no, one that she had
she just dropped one like
New
a week
White
ago.
Remix,
the Troll. The Motivation.
No, that was
Motivation.
That was in 2008.
Yeah,
I'm talking
I
about
it. Too. I still might.
Nah, it might not have been. It's been a long time now. But she had a single that just came out last week.
Oh, I didn't know. Right. I'm going to go get it, though, just so I could be true to myself. All right, next topic.
Right. So the next topic is the article was a gentleman had to make the choice between saving the life of his child and saving the life of his wife. So, Pat, we're going to start with you on this one. You know, I'm not saying I'm not going to come off and say the dude made any bad choices because I don't know what, you know, I'm not him and all those things there. But if you were faced with this choice, what do you think you would do?
Well, there ain't no think about it for me. I didn't have this conversation with my wife on several occasions now, going back years and years. If I got to choose between the life of my wife and the life of my child, I'm choosing the life of my wife. And that's just from a standpoint of, and it's not to say there's a right or wrong. You do what works for you. It's, to me, it's not even like a debate. Like, you know, like, let's get into it. It's just like, this is what I would do for my family. That's what you would do for your family. But for me, we can create another child.
Mm-hmm.
As horrible as that might sound to a lot of people, it is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
We can create another child. We can move past this. We're young enough, and we can do other things to get past it and to continue to procreate and to blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
We can do things to honor the child.
Mm-hmm.
On the other end, though, if I choose my child over my wife, now not only do I lose my partner, but I'm also robbing the child of a mother.
Yeah.
And I'm creating all kinds of other scenarios and issues that might create a harder life for the child. It's definitely going to create a harder life for myself. It's going to create a harder life for everyone involved in the situation because you have somebody that spent 25, 30, 40 years building relationships and becoming a person versus, you know, a newborn infant who has really only had 5 minutes to build a relationship. I mean, you've had 10 months to build a relationship with the mom and the dad. But for everybody else, you know that they'll be hurt. Of course, it's a tragic situation, and I don't want to make it seem like it's not tragic. But just speaking on it from a logical standpoint, it's a lot easier to move past the death of a newborn than to move past the death of a spouse, of a daughter, of a mother, if you have other kids, you know, those situations. So, you know, I just don't, to me, it just doesn't, to me, it's not even a difficult decision, like without hesitation. Now, I'm going to say this as well, because when I had this conversation with my wife, she was like, you acting like the baby is a miscarriage. And it's, you know, I'm not saying that there's an equal footing between a miscarriage and having to choose between who lives and who dies in the situation between your child and your spouse. But I am saying that it's not a decision for me. I'm picking my wife 10 out of 10 times.
That's where I'm at, though. Even I'm not married, nothing like that, but that what my thought would be, like, I you and I built something. I've committed myself to you. I've committed myself to protecting you. I've committed myself to helping you become the best that you can be. And I'm with you. I'm rocking with you to the end. So that's what my thoughts would go to that. I would want my wife to live. And you know, like I said in the opening, I don't think that this is a right or wrong. It's just more opinion based. So I know some people gonna hear this and be all up in arms, but they'll be all right. Just go forward and you'll be all right. But I would choose my wife. It's just you're my partner. Like I love you. We made this commitment, and so as my partner, I'm rocking with you to the end, and that's just how it is. Like even on like a whole all other fronts and stuff, I'm rocking with my wife. So that's just me, just plain and simple. I'm rocking with my wife. So ladies, what are you all's thoughts about the article, and what are your thoughts about what we're saying?
I agree 100% because you take a vow with your wife, not with your kids. And I actually had a similar thing happen in my family. As I, the 2 days ago, I mourned the death of one of my first cousins. She was diagnosed with cancer. Got cured of the cancer, but she needed to take a pill every day for the rest of her life. She got pregnant. In order for the child to survive, she needed to not take that cancer pill. Her and her husband already had a son who was, he's autistic, but there's other things wrong with them as well because he's 10 years old and can't talk, still wear diapers. So there are other things, mental illnesses that he has as well. But when she got pregnant with Kennedy, she decided to keep the baby and not take the pill. Well, Kennedy wrapped herself around her umbilical cord, and she was born stillborn. A week after she gave birth to Kennedy, she went back to her cancer doctor, and, of course, the cancer was progressive at stage 4. So not only did she lose her child, she ultimately lost her life. And I was pissed off and angry at her to this day. To this day, I'm angry at her because her or her husband, to me, should have made the logical decision to say, hey, we'll terminate this pregnancy, or I'll continue to take the pill and deal with what happens on the outside with the child instead of choosing life for that child. Because now her husband is a widow caring for a child that's 10 years old who's had suffered from mental illnesses. I thought it was a very, very, very selfish act of my cousin. It was only 7 of us, first cousins, and we lost one. Due to me, her husband should have even made the decision being the head of the household as they claim to be, hey, you know what? We could always see about having more babies in the future. You need to take your pill.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm going with the wife. So in this scenario in my head, I'm a lesbian, right? And so my wife has been artificially inseminated. Yeah, I'm saving my wife. For one, because we can always have more kids. And two, and I'm sure Erica can attest to this because both of us have lost our moms. And it's hard living without your mama, even when you're grown. So I couldn't imagine being 2, 3, you know, those formative ages and not having a mom. That's a huge disservice to that child. So yeah, I'm rocking with the wife. Me and Mindy, we just don't have to try again when we get that IVF money back up.
Your lesbian wife,
you stupid,
is Mindy.
That's what I was
saying. Yeah,
because
she white.
Oh, so the black women ain't good enough for you.
Yeah,
because was she a pick me? Was she a pick me?
No, she is like a flannel wearing lesbian. You don't find black flannel wearing lesbians.
You stupid. Hey, so you don't want a polo, button up polo? With
no.
One with a good lineup.
Dread.
No, I want Mindy with the flannel. We going to be vegan. And we going to go to Whole Foods all the time and ride Vespa.
Hey. So what you're saying is you don't like your own people.
This is why black women are picking me. This is exactly why women are wanting us.
This is an alternative universe where I live in like San Francisco or some shit.
We ain't even good enough for your alternative universe.
So when your own imaginary made up universe, where you could pick any woman you wanted with any characteristics, you still made
a black woman with a flannel.
Yes.
You choose that.
No,
well, you couldn't get La Mindy. You had to go with regular Mindy.
You can't get Ellen and just make her, you know, Eleanor or D'Ellen?
No.
What about Shaquan Drisha?
Man, no. I'm talking about the. I want one of them lesbians on the Target commercial.
There you go.
You know, like the lesbians on the Target commercial. They be biracial. They be interracial couples.
And we trying to figure out why, even in the alternative universe, the black woman is not wanted. Why?
Me and Mindy getting IVF, y'all just don't have to get over.
So I don't want to hear you talk about black men don't want black women no more, because you don't want black women.
Because she don't want one.
Me and Mindy, we getting IVF. She don't have a flannel.
And when you do have a daughter, or an adopted daughter, or just any little girl that you close to, when she grow up, I'm going to tell her what you said right here, right now, today.
You're
the alternative universe.
No.
This call is recorded for quality. This call is recorded for quality.
I'm going
to train her.
Dominique don't love you. What you mean Dominique don't love you? She do everything for me. Look, in an alternate universe, you
Yeah. Y'all stupid, man.
We're going to have a pug and a pit bull.
There you go.
And we're going to volunteer at the SPCA. We're going to be like a real granola, whole food,
and y'all
biracial
gonna
lesbian
each other
couple.
Give each other uterus infections. How about that?
So wait. Okay, so this we're going to stop at this. But apparently it's not scissoring anymore. It's tribbing. But anyway, go ahead.
It's mine, right?
Oh, see, I know about tribbing.
See, tripping and scissoring is they kind of interchangeable.
Okay.
Nah, but tripping is like anything, just like rubbing together, though. Like, scissoring is like a specific formation.
Yeah.
But I don't think you have to.
Hey,
I don't think
like
you have to.
Topic.
Y'all just took four left turns. You took four left turns on this topic.
Well, we took
y'all
four
crazy,
left turns.
That's a topic for another day.
I know, right? Get your trib on. I thought that was an interesting thing, because you know, once it got put on social media, it had its rounds. Now the thing I don't agree with this article is people who have backlash against the guy. Even though I may not have made that choice, I don't have any backlash towards him, because he made the decision that he felt was best for he and his family.
And
so,
maybe this is a conversation him and his wife had before.
Right, exactly. That's what I was just about to say.
What kind of head of household is he that he listening to his wife?
Okay.
Right.
So,
tell the truth, Patrick.
All right. but it's just like I don't agree with people who are trying to force their opinion or their way of life or their way of seeing things on this situation, because you know you make the decisions that's best for you. I can't make those decisions for somebody else. That's not my job.
That's what the internet is for, though. The internet is to judge people from afar, from your couch.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because I hate my
and
life.
Tell them what you would do in that situation and how jacked up they are for thinking the way they think.
Right. Even though you wouldn't really do it.
And
exactly.
You only post it because you're seeking approval from people you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But yep, the baby was born like 4 months early, right? Was it like 3 or 4 months early?
Absolutely.
I think the baby was born really early.
I'm going to be honest. I did what we call social media reading of the article.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, the title. Yeah.
Y'all stupid.
Yeah,
I hate about social media read.
Because I feel like I hit like two lines of it, and I feel like I saw that the baby was born 3 or 4 months early.
See, that's not real social media reading. Is you don't even click the article. You
right, you just read the headline and go.
You read the headline and then become outraged.
There you go. I can't believe this.
Headline.
But that's what people did with this. That's what people did with this article.
Yeah, that's how clickbait was invented. We
right.
Would just give them something just a little talk about to piss them off.
Yeah.
Let me do a
paragraph
comment.
but yeah, it's I don't know, man. I just for one though, like you are right. When you put stuff on social media, you know, you open it up for people's opinions and things. Anything you put in the public realm is subject to criticism. So do any of you know how this, like, how somebody got a hold of this story? Did, like, the, well, y'all didn't read it, so never mind.
Because
that's interesting, because it's something like that. How does that hit the airwaves? Like, who's looking for stories like this to put out? Because I know me personally, I wouldn't, the world not going to know what's going on.
A lot of news outlets put those kind of tearjerker stories, filler stories on their websites now. I see them a lot because I saw one similar on the local news station's website here, where a lady and her husband had tried, and they had, you know, I think the lady might have been like 50 or something when she actually ended up getting pregnant. I think she had a bunch of miscarriages, and she ended up dying, and it was kind of like the same scenario where they chose to save the baby, but they say she said she wanted them to, you know, she would rather the baby live. And I'm telling you now, this is recorded. Whoever I marry, if I say that, it's the drugs.
Okay. Okay.
I'm rocking with my wife for as long as we can. I'm rocking with my wife. That's my partner.
Because you ain't going on with them kids. You are not going old with your kids. I don't know, even though I'm not a Christian, but you take those vows for better or worse with your spouse, not with your kids. Like
15 minutes. I'm sorry.
You can finish your point, Eric.
Yeah, you can finish your point, Eric.
Oh, I'm sorry. Look at me. For better or worse, to death do us part, and that's my closing statement.
Bam.
Yeah, I agree with that. My closing statement, I wish it was longer, but I agree with what Erica just said. But I'm rocking with my wife. We can make more kids.
Hmm.
Yeah. I think we're all in agreement on that. That. And even what's your wife's name, Dominique?
Mandy.
Yeah. You and Mandy.
That old hoe.
she a white hoe.
Mindy,
she gonna
Mindy
be
gonna...
a young white hoe though.
God damn. Yeah, Mindy. All right, so this last topic is talking about the CDC put out information that saying that the HIV epidemic in Atlanta's HIV issue has reached epidemic proportions, and it's compared to third world countries, and according to the CDC, I'm going to make sure I say that, according to the CDC, they're saying that there are currently more than 35,000 people in Atlanta with HIV. And so I was having a conversation with my coworker, because when we come across these articles and I'm at work, because for those who may not know, I do HIV/AIDS prevention, counseling, and testing and training. That's my day job. And looking at that, for me, it doesn't surprise me, but one of the things that kind of hurts me is 5 years ago, 7 years ago, 10 years ago, people were predicting the trend to go this way, and I'm not sure what public health measures have truly been put in place in Georgia to kind of curb this. And then also, like I was saying to you all before we really started getting into it, is I know from what I've seen, from all the studying that I've been doing and all the research and things, when you put people who are positive and may not have had behavioral changes, and you put those people in one space, and then you put other people in that space, you're going to have more infections that are happening. Because one thing that I've seen is, for one, because most of these numbers are in the category of black men who have sex with men. So they're not really being taught how to have sex. They're not being taught how to have safe sex. And then it's just like the whole public health realm is not focusing on behavioral change, because now they come out with the PrEP drug. And yes, PrEP is cool, but PrEP is for, and PrEP was mainly designed by Gilead for HIV discordant couples. And for those who don't know, PrEP is pre-exposure prophylaxis. and you give that to the partner who's not positive to help them not contract HIV. So I've done a lot of talking. What are you all thoughts about this article in the Atlanta epidemic, and what do you think we can do as Black people to kind of help curb this? Start with Erica. Start with you.
Okay, sorry, I was on mute. Can I go after someone else? I'm sorry, because I was also eating. That's why I was on mute.
What you eat?
I'm sorry. A chicken sandwich.
Go ahead. Kick it off, Dominique. What are your thoughts?
Why are Black people not using condoms? Why? No, for real, why? Why are Black people not using condoms? This could have been avoided. And I think that's what's so frustrating about it. It's like, it's preventable. Why are we still not using condoms? Condoms are annoying, but they're a necessary evil. And right. I'd rather be annoyed than HIV positive. So I just don't understand how we have all of this information out here and people still aren't using condoms. Is it because we see people with HIV living longer and people aren't scared anymore? Or are people just careless? Because I don't even want to say it's just young people. I know a great deal of people over 30 who regularly do not use condoms. Hell, the celebrities don't use condoms. Clearly, Future keeps getting people pregnant. So
he letting him hunt.
That too. So I just don't understand why we just aren't wearing condoms. It ain't rocket science.
Yeah. My question, I guess I would follow that up, because I wasn't taught how to use condoms. They just told us to use condoms, but we weren't taught how to use condoms. And like you said, people don't really like using condoms and things, but that still go back to a real behavioral change that's not happening. That's what I see one of the biggest issues is the behaviors. The behaviors are still continued, because now with PrEP, you have PrEP, so people know that I can take PrEP or either PEP, and PEP is the post-exposure. So if I have, like last month, we had at least 6 people come in our office I had a questionable encounter, so I need this medicine. So people do see that HIV positives are living long, but now they have these different drugs out. So I feel like people are taking chances, but they're still uneducated, uninformed, and have bad sexual habits.
But can I say,
go ahead,
Dominique.
No, I was just gonna say, if you lazy enough to not, maybe that's not the right word. It probably is. If you lazy enough to not put on a condom, why would you put the effort into going to take, going to get medicine?
Convenient.
Yeah.
No, it would be, but not in their way of thinking. I think, and I made a post, I'm not sure if y'all remember, months ago, and I said if I see one more post about men making these memes about dry vagina, I think all of it has to do with a lack of sex education, period, to the point where some men are lazy that they don't want to use a condom because they don't want to lose that feeling and that wetness, not realizing, because a lot of them are so lazy, they're not trying to do what it takes to get the woman aroused properly, so that when you do have on a condom, you don't miss the fact that she's wet. They just want to dive in, and some of them depend on the wetness of the rubber to take the fact that the woman's not all the way aroused. So I think if men across the board, outside of porn, got educated on the female's anatomy, the body, arousal of the female body, and not be ashamed thinking they always know what they're doing, it wouldn't matter the size of, because we say it's not the motion, the size of the ship, the motion in the ocean. Some of that wouldn't matter if you knew how to please your partner through and through.
Now let me throw this in. Now remember, most of these numbers are men having sex with men. So what would your thoughts go to when you're talking about safe sex and stuff, when you're talking about men having sex with men?
Wrap it up and don't sleep with women if that's what you're doing. Everybody should know what's going on. But wrap it up as far as that go, because outside of them lubing it up anyway, I don't know if the booty hole gets wet. I don't think it does.
Apparently it does.
But,
it does. I don't know from what.
It has some kind of secretion.
Yeah, it does. I mean, how you think your big fat shits get out?
Because the crap be more.
Good Lord.
That's TMI.
What are your thoughts, Pat?
On what? Y'all just presented so much. I agree with Erica in terms of the need for a more in-depth sex education, especially with the focus on the female anatomy. Definitely agree with that. You know, because it's a lot of motherfuckers out here, men and women, because I meet a lot of women that don't even know what they, you know, I went through this period where I was showing women a vectored image of a vagina, and they didn't know what it was. And I showed them a vectored image of a clitoris. They didn't know what that was either. You know, I had one lady tell me, oh, that looked like a crown or a necklace of some kind. Well, yeah, I guess crown fits somewhat. So, I agree with Erica in that, but I think black people got this thing going, and if you look at the numbers, a lot of this is young people, and young people just, they don't think that it can happen to them. They don't believe that they can get an HIV. They don't believe that they can die. They don't believe that they can become paralyzed. They don't believe that any sort of negative thing can happen to them. That's one of the more interesting parts about the youth, is that you honestly believe, you even if you don't believe you're invincible, you believe that nothing super bad is going to happen. And then when it does happen, you're met with extreme shame, like you're just embarrassed because your whole identity is built around what other people think about you. And so to run into a scenario where you've contracted something like AIDS at 25, especially if you married with kids and you a down low brother.
Yeah. You see, that's how women are getting, black women are getting HIV.
Right. But you're terrified at that point. You're literally terrified. And so you're going to keep those things a secret, even though you know you shouldn't. Even though you know your wife loves anal sex because she's some sort of crazy super freak. And you know that by having anal sex with her, you're increasing your risk of transmitting to her. You're still not going to be like, nah, baby, not right now. Nah, I'm not. You know, you're just so embarrassed by the situation. And I think that's a big part of the problem we're having, is that everybody's identity is so wrapped up in what other people think. And that's kind of it's that way by design, you know, without getting into this whole thing on culture and group psychology. But that's kind of the way it's set up by design, so that we can continue moving forward as a species. But that has huge drawbacks when you have situations like preventable diseases, you know, and dangerous alternative lifestyles and all of these other situations that negatively affect us as a species. And we're scared to talk about it because we don't want to lose our social standing. So, to Dominique's question about why don't black people use condoms, I think a big part of that is, one, they don't believe anything's going to happen, and two, they want the best sex they can get, and condoms interfere with that. They don't know how to, because stroking with a condom on is different from stroking without a condom.
It's way...
And half these motherfuckers don't even know how to stroke without a condom. So you throw a condom,
getting stroked with a condom on is different than getting stroked without a condom.
Oh, yeah, everybody. That's a huge difference.
So you throw a condom in the mix with somebody that already don't know what the fuck they doing, and you fucking up a girl uterus. You know, like, you're just fucking up the whole experience. So I don't, you know, they don't want to do that. They don't think nothing's going to happen. So they do it. Then they get embarrassed. They get shamed. They don't want to tell nobody. But they still got sexual urges. And they have moments where they still want to do it. So, you know, it's just a cycle, in my opinion.
Now, from my standpoint, I don't think black people are using condoms less than any other race. But I do think
that disagree with you.
You got numbers that say what the numbers say?
I don't know. I just felt like saying that.
But like for example, like what threw us off one day? This Asian girl comes into our office in the morning to get the PEP pill, the post exposure prophylaxis, because she had sex with this black dude, and we know exactly the dude she was having sex with, because when we was on campus doing testing one day, dude told us he was gonna get her, because this one dude, whenever we come up to campus and do testing, he hangs out around our mobile unit. So we knew who she had sex with, but the fact that, you know, that was kind of an anomaly for us, because we mostly see black and white people. So to have this Asian girl come in for the PEP, it's like wow, you know, this stuff, this is real. It's really cross cultural, but in concentrated areas, you know, the numbers are just ballooning for black people, because black people, as far as cultural wise, when it comes to sex and all these things, we still very, very, very conservative in things we don't want to talk about. And then, like, even the condom conversation, I put this dude from South Florida, I put him on the Lifestyle Non-Latex condom, because they're my favorite condoms, because you're going to get your feeling in those condoms. But also, going back, like what Erica was saying about sexual education and stuff, condom competency. People love the magnums, but don't know how the magnums dry out quick. So if you don't understand lubrication and turning people's on, but we still got to think about this in the context of men having sex with men, because that's where the bulk of these HIV numbers come from, especially in Atlanta, is men having sex with men. So all these sexual habits that we're talking about as far as male and female relationships, these same things are going on with male-to-male relationships.
I'm looking at some numbers now. They're old, but I've been looking at numbers from 2014 to 2016, or from 2000 to 2016, from various different sites, various NCI reports and Guatemala Institute reports, and it looks like black women and Hispanic women are more likely than white women to use condoms by a measure of 10 percentage points larger, 15-17% for black and Hispanic women, while it's only 4% for white women. And that seems to be going across the lines of the reports that I'm looking at. Obviously, the numbers differ from report to report, but black women and white women seem to be at least 10 percentage points higher than white women.
Let me make sure I heard you right. You're saying black women and Hispanic women are 10%. They had a 10% chance of more of using condoms or not using condoms.
Yeah. It's they're using condoms at a rate of roughly 15-20%,
mm-hmm.
while white women are less than 5%.
Go ahead.
Yeah, white women, you know, the narrative of HIV and AIDS is that black people got it from monkeys. We know that. So white people think, I ain't black and I ain't screwing monkeys, I ain't going to get HIV.
Now, I think it's because, and this is going to be, but I mean, whatever. Could it be that they're married more? So they're considering that their mate is just having sex with them because they're in allegedly a monogamous relationship, and black and Hispanic women aren't married as much.
What's the age range, Pat?
It's just general. There's no age range, but that's just for women. When it comes to men, and I do think, Dominique, what you just presented, I think that is a viable factor, is an important factor. But when you look at the male population, black men, you know, 40%, this one number I'm looking at, 60% of heterosexual black men have said they've never used a condom. 40% of homosexual black men have said they've never used a condom. And the heterosexual numbers are the highest numbers of any ethnicity by a stretch. The homosexual numbers are only topped by Hispanics in a lot of these reports. So there is some disparity. Like the black women, even though 20% still ain't shit, that's not enough, it's still higher than other women. And so you could say black women are more likely to use condoms, but black men are not using condoms, which then points to another question, because a lot of these surveys are self-reporting. So you run into, again, we get into that man box and that woman box. Are the women lying because it's viewed as dirty to have sex without a condom? And are the men lying because they're seen as more masculine if they can have sex without a condom? You know what I'm saying? Like, all those things come into play. But the numbers, looking at the numbers, black women are more likely to use a condom. Black men are more likely to not use a condom. So
even with that, I would still ask sexual preference with the men, because if you have men that's having sex with men and neither party is using condoms, I could see that. And then if you have a man or a group of men who are having sex with men and women, you know, that would increase the chances. So.
Well, according to this NCI report, and it is about 10 years old, but it's the most in-depth thing I've come across in the last 5 or 10 minutes of searching, so take that with a grain of salt. 52% of African-American men, black men, I hate that term. Anyways, black men are not having sex at all.
52%? What percent?
I believe that, what? Actually. I actually believe that. That
what
that
is it?
Up with the numbers that I hear when I ask. Now, when you say not having sex, they're just talking about over the past 6 months. They're not talking about period. So just
what
ain't had
to fill up it being.
Well, I mean, you know, that's believable. That's very believable to me. But then in that same time period, 40% of homosexuals reported not using a condom, homosexual black men. 60% of heterosexual black men reported not using a condom. I believe that, because I know a lot of dudes and women who the women say, you got to use a condom to sleep with me, and the dudes say, I ain't putting on no condom, and the girls say, okay, go ahead.
I know a lot.
And then 40% of bisexual men had sex in the last 3 to 6 months without using a condom. So,
that's interesting. I know for me, like personally, that we've done almost 3,000 tests, myself and my supervisor. Just us. Well, let me re-say that. If it's just us two, we've done almost 2,000 tests, just us two, and less than 1% use condoms all the time. Way less than 1%, because I've come across some guys and I've come across some women who've never had unprotected sex. So, but that's still less than 1%. So pretty much everybody we're testing, not numerically everybody, but pretty much everybody we're testing has had unprotected sex, is engaging in unprotected sex in relationships and things. And I do know it seems like men take more risk than women. It seems.
It is.
That's true. Yeah. Across fields, that's true, though. Men take more risk than women, period, when it comes to everything.
Right. So we're having riskier sex. So the numbers should be higher in the male population, because men are having riskier sex.
But there's a biological component to the way we assess risk as well, and we're at 15 minutes, so I got to stop. But That's an interesting conversation in terms of risk assessment with black men or with men and women, period, especially when it comes to child rearing. And when you start talking about epigenetics and even talking about the way we do child rearing, men, you know, a man's prerogative or pejorative or whatever in that situation is to spread his seed. Women catch the seed. You know, they're more incapacitated by the act of procreation. So they're going to have more aversion to risk than men are, because, you know, I can only give birth once a year, whereas a man can impregnate You know, he can impregnate every woman on the planet in the course of a year.
I know for me personally, and this will be my final thought, as far as curbing the HIV epidemic, we need behavioral change. We need more public health measures. We need more sexual education. We have an uphill battle to fight. I believe that we can get to a point where we are in a better position, but not doing what we're doing now. We need to change how we exist. We need to change how we think about sex, have sex, and just all those things. Next.
I agree with that. Go ahead.
Jinx.
I was going to say that the whole thing about African Americans or Black people being conservative when it comes to sex, I think we need to be a little more open, be more open to having honest conversations. We need to stop shaming Black men when they are bisexual. That is why they are not comfortable saying that they are. So that's that whole little down low phenomenon. I mean, if I was a gay Black man, or not gay, if I was a bisexual Black man, I probably wouldn't tell people I was bisexual either, because you get so much slander. So then you have to sneak and do what you're doing. So that plays a part in it, I think. So we just need to be open to having honest conversations and allowing people to be free when it comes to their sexuality.
I agree
with that 100%. Be open and honest, communicate, and definitely get educated on the act. I think it's too many of us out here, young and old, trying to engage in the act and partake in the act of having sex, but we just truthfully don't know what the hell we're doing. I mean, even from knowing what condom, type of condom to buy, buying the right condom size, be honest and upfront with yourself.
Straight up. Pat?
Yeah, I agree. Communication is key. We definitely got to deal with, and it kind of the whole show for me has been centered around gender roles and gender boxes. We got to deal with those.
Uh-huh.
And we got to make people, people have to be comfortable to speak out. And I'm not talking about on social media, because that's bullshit.
Uh-huh.
Right. I'm talking about having real live conversations, face-to-face conversations with the people that they're involved with on a day-to-day
mm-hmm.
basis. So
yep. And while you y'all having those conversations, if you want to have sex with somebody and you don't know this person's status, y'all go get tested before you have sex. Go get tested so you can know what you're getting yourself into, and then you can if you still make the choice to have sex with the person who's positive, make sure you're educated enough to protect yourself. But we've got to stop having sex with people and you don't know their status, and then you have an unprotected sex with those people. That's not helping the numbers.
If you're the type of weak ass motherfucking woman, yes, I said it, fight me, don't at me, dog. If you that type of woman that's gonna let a man strong arm you and then slipping his cookie into your cutter raw, yes,
what?
Get tested, bitch. B-I-B-I, my neck, my back.
Yeah. Hey, ladies, definitely appreciate y'all coming on. Y'all, this good conversation that we had across these four topics, I definitely appreciate you all. So from the Freedom Train, I'm gonna give y'all these claps, you know what I'm saying? Give y'all these claps, give it up.
Give it up, give it up.
There you go. We definitely appreciate y'all.
It was wonderful. You know, I always enjoy talking to y'all, so
yes, ma'am. And Dominique, we done said your name a million times throughout this whole show. We started off with Dom, so everybody know your name. Now, so.
It don't matter. They gonna spell it wrong anyway, so it's fine.
Hey, man, y'all remember, y'all check us out online, www.freedomtrainradio.com. Go support Pat's show, on Patreon, Lessons from the Screen. It's on Patreon.
Oh, hey, Joe, real quick. For everybody that's listening, there wasn't a show today because we had a snowstorm, a storm this weekend. 3 or 4 people died, so it was a big deal. Power was out, so I wasn't able to get a show done for today. But we'll have a show on Thursday.
Right, but LTFS, so go to patreon.com/LTFS for Lessons from the Screen. That way you can support Lessons from the Screen. Also go to patreon.com/TheFix so you can support the Fix Sports Podcast and what we got going on here at the Freedom Train Network. And you know how we do, man. We get it in and we shut it down. So ladies, once again, appreciate you all for coming through and rocking with us. Hey, man, y'all put 2 fingers in the air, split them apart like a pillow.